Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I love that. I was just noticing that.
Yeah, there's so much handier than tripods.
Yeah, way better because they're easy to set up.
Yeah.
And like they're fast and just put a little bit of pressure on them and they hold.
There we are. Reggie. It's kind of weird. It's weird to meet someone you haven't seen in ages and they just immediately start.
Yeah, I know.
A podcast or whatever this is.
It's a cast pod. Hopefully.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to And That's Why We're Not Together. And I'm joined, and I'm very honored to be joined by the amazing Reggie Watts. In comedy circles, you're like our wizard or something. But I'm just trying to think, should I give you an intro? Reggie is a it just feels weird.
I love it.
Comedian, actor, beatboxer, improvisational musician. Uses his voice and keyboard looping machines. And what I thought was quite interesting, I mean, back in the day you described yourself as a disinformationalist, and yet now that's kind of not disinformation, it's real.
Yeah.
Like anything that anybody says is kind of, you know, like fake news is kind of, it's acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Well, disinformation, like the whole idea of like, I was reading a lot.
Like it's not as bizarre as it's kind of normal now, right?
It is kind of normal. I mean, because the trick that I was employing was like, you know, old like, you know, propaganda tactics or whatever, where you, you know, you're mixing truths and non-truths and it just wears people out to the point at which they become indifferent, you know?
Well, people are compliant. I mean, the people are easy to sway, I think.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
a lot of fear.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's all it is now. I mean, it's the business of fear. People make money from it.
So, are you gigging a lot? Did you say, like, when you were gigging in Ireland, you were a little bit nervous just because you were in Ireland or because you haven't been gigging that much?
I wasn't gigging that much. And then also, I'm doing a festival that I used to do regularly up until, I think, I guess it was 2013 was the last time I did whatever sponsored festival at Ivy Gardens was, a comedy festival. So yeah, because I did it 4 years in a row and then I just haven't been back in 11 years. So.
Okay, but I mean, in terms of, do you gig every week? Do you gig every week? Or
Yeah, I mean, I do like little 10-minute, 15-minute sets, like, probably a few times a week on Friends shows.
And because during COVID, I think it was the longest I went without doing a gig.
Yeah.
Like it was 7 or 8 months.
Wow.
And it was very odd, really odd for the first few weeks getting back into stand-up. Just the idea of people people looking at you with expectation. And when you're doing it all the time, you don't notice that. You just don't think. You're just like a shark. You just go on. And so I found it very bizarre. You know, did you find that?
I mean, not really. I mean, yeah, it was a little weird. Like, you know, I think there was a show called, what was it called? I think it's called Jam in the Van. And there was this crew that had this van that would drive around and stop and like do shows for people during the pandemic. Oh, brilliant. You know?
Right.
And so then they tried doing like live shows, and they were doing somewhat like it was outdoors, and they were kind of COVID compliant, but not really, because everyone was just kind of sitting together. So it was more of like a speakeasy thing. But I just remember the first time seeing other comics and being in a green room and some people wearing masks and not sure if they can wear a mask or not, you know, and then going out to an audience and performing in front of them. And that was definitely very weird, you know. But once you get into like a proper, once it starts rolling, it just all comes back and it feels pretty normal.
My ex-wife was very against all the she made sure our sons weren't vaccinated, and she was all into that stuff.
Wow. Congratulations. Great decisions.
But what I loved about COVID, what I loved about COVID-19, if you could say you love anything about a virus, is that it didn't seem to affect kids. So it was kind of a pretty, in that way, it was pretty exciting. I mean, cool, good.
Yeah, and exciting.
Exciting is the wrong word.
I'm excited about it.
I mean, if you could make a virus, if you had to make one.
Yeah.
That would be the one that, and that's not.
Yeah, the
that's,
one. Yeah, it doesn't affect young people as much. I mean, I don't know if I got it or not. I can't tell if I did. I may have.
Do you find that nowadays that? Well, I don't know about you. I know you're quite. I don't know. I find that I second guess myself a lot on stage, and I feel I'm always one sentence away from being cancelled or something, or you know. But do you think it's like 20 years ago, you could kind of fuck up and it wasn't such a big deal? Or am I?
No, I think you're right. I think definitely there, well, you know, it was a different, also society was a little bit different. So the line of what was acceptable and not acceptable was like so low that you just kind of did it and people were like, you can't say that.
Oh, right.
And that was kind of it, you know. But now it's really the internet. The internet's what changed everything. Everybody now has an opinion, and we realize that everybody shouldn't have an opinion, or at least shouldn't have.
Well, they can have an opinion, but maybe they shouldn't be listened to.
Well, I mean, broadcast opinion.
Well, that's what goes down to fear. It's amazing what a small militant active group, how much change they can affect, or how they can the influence that a well organized small amount of people can have.
100%. Well, I mean, it was easier to keep societies kind of have a sense of a collective identity because there were only a few outlets, you know, of media available.
So they couldn't, so they couldn't check.
Yeah, and so now it's like, well, now everybody who wants to say whatever they want to say can say whatever they want to say, and now people have the data so they can target those people that are saying certain things, and now they know that they can approach those people and influence them.
Just when you said the word data, it sounds like a word that you would use in your comedy. And what I think is great is there's all these opinions flying around, and there's all, but what is great about you is that, I mean, this whole human experiment, you know, we kind of try to rise above it. I mean, you do, and it is a bit absurd, everything, you know.
Totally. Everything is ridiculous, you know, but every single thing is ridiculous, but people take it so seriously, and it's like, that's the danger.
Are you into science and astrophysics? Like, I haven't got a clue about it, but my God, Reggie, I love watching documentaries and listening to astrophysicists talking about string theory, and then Roger Penrose, who's not into string theory. I was listening to it last night. I don't understand it, but I love listening to it.
Yeah,
and I think as well, sometimes when you get into your stuff, into your big science bits, but you speak with such authority, it does sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, it's like it's a mixture of some fake stuff and some real stuff. I mean, I'm a science junkie. I love knowing what's going on and like what they're coming up with and what's the new thing.
What is the new thing Reggie wants?
Well, I guess the new thing is, I forget what it's called.
Quantum computing.
Well, quantum computing is cool. It's, you know, it's been an ongoing endeavor for a while.
I love the way Reggie, now you're suddenly an expert.
Right? Yeah, it's cool. But there's I think it's called information theory or something like that. But basically, instead of the universe and everything being made of molecules or dark matter and things like that, it's they've changed the unit of measurement to information, so that we live in an informational universe, so that it's ones and zeros, kind of like a computer program.
But I'm chancing my arm here. Mm. Is that anything to do with quantum entanglement?
I mean, kind of. Entanglement is involved in it, but yeah. It's just like
an atom or whatever,
yeah,
can be billions of light years,
yeah,
away, and they can communicate to each other.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, well, there's like these weird things too, like you know, the uncertainty principle. You know, that thing of like, if you observe something, then that makes it what it is. But when you're not observing it, it's in an uncertain state. And which I love. Imagine
that describes Phil Kay.
Oh my God!
And his comedy show, because you know when you don't like when you don't expect it. Have you? You know Phil?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen one show of his, but he's a legend. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I've seen one or two where he's really no different to yourself. There's a sort of a magical thing that can happen where suddenly connections are happening in front of your eyes. And obviously, you didn't plan for it, but with Phil, you know, anytime you know the TV commissioning editors have tried to corral that or produce it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Or he self-destructs. Yeah, or
that's true. That's exactly the phenomena. That's exactly the same thing. Yeah, because like they you know, when they would run those the double slit experiment, which was like,
oh, right,
you know, they'd fire like a photon or a proton or whatever at you know, this double slit two-dimensional kind of card, and then there was a kind of photographic plate at the back of it, and then like when they would shoot it with it, and if there are people observing, then it would make this unexpected pattern as though it were a wave. And then if they were observing it, it would make these clumps like that were expected. If they weren't observing it, it would turn into an interference pattern, something like that. And then they tried tricks of like, they tried putting a camera to observe the particle before it goes through the double slit or whatever. And it would still produce the same result as though an observer were watching. And then they tried like sneakily unplugging the camera. Right. Then it would still produce the same thing because someone was observing it. But anyways, the point is like, I love that there's something has to do in reality. Like when you observe something, it's like the singing frog. Do you remember that?
No.
That cartoon?
No.
Where the guy had, it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon where the guy had this, there's this frog that could sing this amazingly, like an operatic singer. And whenever he would want it to sing, you know, when he'd bring people to look at it, to sing, like he booked an entire concert thing, like a concert hall, and was like, here's this amazing day. Of course, like it did nothing.
Oh, right.
Ribbit, whatever. And then, of course, when the audience was gone, then it would sing again. And so there's like something interesting.
But that could have been just nerves, Reggie.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the frog is dead at this point, but it's been a while.
When you say you were you genuinely nervous? Playing here. What time did you get to bed last night, by the way?
Oh, I went to bed around 3 or something. Like
Jesus that. Christ.
2 or 3, 2:30.
But you weren't, you were. How does that manifest? It never assassinates your potential to do well, does it? Your nerves?
I mean, not. It's really about listening, you know, like once I get up on stage, I have to like, you know, really listen to the room and listen to myself and, you know, get out of the way and just have a good show. But in Ireland, it's always a little bit different because, like, you know, I want to do a good job and, And you know, and Irish people love it when you talk about Irish culture.
Oh yeah,
and so that's
obsessed with themselves.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so that's an interest. That's kind of a fun thing. But then I just watch other comedians, and that inspires me.
Mm. You look very well, by the way. Since the time I last see you, there's no gray in your beard.
Oh well,
I sent a message. Something yeah, yes, that the, I do. I just started recently dyeing my beard.
Yeah.
And I kind, God forgive me, I kind of like it.
Yeah,
because it makes
do
me,
it too.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Reggie.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Look
I do
at dye us my sitting beard. Here.
Hi.
There you go, folks.
Hi, I'm a beard dyer.
I'm a beard dyer too.
Hello.
Yeah, I think it's more acceptable if you own up to it, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah, it's just a cosmetic thing. It's like it's like someone wearing eyeshadow.
Reggie Watts. Yes. Reggie Watts, you were born in Stuttgart in Germany, right?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
How long did you live there for?
Only a year.
Sorry, one of the things I think is weird, I've noticed on a lot of your... Sorry, I'm looking at...
Oh, good.
I'm looking at...
The people?
The people, us. No, I'm looking at the screen because I just saw something flash. So
oh, okay, good.
I do have ADDDD.
Oh, ADDD. Okay.
Adidas. I've got Adidas. But they describe you as an army brat. Now, stop reading my notes. Could you explain?
Yeah.
Because I genuinely... Why, if you're born to a father who was in the army, mm-hmm. Are you a brat? What does that mean?
I think it just means... I don't know. I just think it's like... I think it's just a term of endearment. It's just like spoiled, like, you know, like calling someone like, they're a spoiled little munchkin or whatever, but it's more like an endearing term.
Oh, because you were just looked after better than normal kids?
Well, because it was like, you know, it's like you're in the army and you're like a kid, and so it's like you might get special consideration or something. I mean, in a way or something like that. I think it's just like a term of endearment, really.
So do you have a German passport?
No, I wish I did. I really wish I did, but...
Do you speak... You don't... I know, obviously, you were there only for a year. Do you speak any other language? Do you speak any languages?
I speak French, but I know a little bit of German. It's funny, I have this German Vodafone commercial that I'm doing, and not this time, but like at the end of the month, I have to go back to Berlin, and it's all in German.
Okay.
But they didn't even bother asking. I think people just think that I speak German, which I think is really cool.
Right.
I mean, I could speak German. I took it in high school and I can...
Well, I mean, we could all speak German, Reggie.
Yeah, that's true. But not everybody can get the accent.
Well, you know, Des Bishop learned how to speak Mandarin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And now he doesn't ever have to use it because he lives in New York.
You've got the accent, do you?
Well, I mean, good enough. I mean, like, I think some people just have difficulties with languages and accents. You know?
There's a beautiful German word called stimmt.
Stimmt. What is that?
I think it's like, yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. And it's kind of like sti, and it's sort of what you're saying, it sort of almost envelops and then stimmt.
Oh, yeah, it closes around it. Yeah,
or genau is another one.
Oh, genau is really great. It's like, yeah. Or like, also. Yeah, get also.
My ex-wife's maiden name is Gnat.
Oh.
She sounds like genau. Gnat.
Is she German?
She's Polish.
Oh, Gnat sounds like a... What is it? Is it Dutch for good night?
Okay.
That's like Gnat. It might be. It's either that or it's German, something like that. But yeah, Gnat.
It is so strange. All these dialects and languages, and it's a pity. Do you think it's a pity we don't all speak one language?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think like with artificial intelligence and real time processing, like I think that we'll have like Babelfish style translators, like real time.
Oh yes,
which will be so weird to see someone mouthing, you know. They're like, it's like, yeah, it's so cool to see you, man. I really like the way you're just right, like, what is happening right now? But I mean, imagine going anywhere in the world and it can translate any language. I mean, that would be insane. I mean, that would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, AI, the big thing now is I noticed that these actors are freaking out about their jobs being taken away by robots. But then I thought to myself, Reggie, like loads of people's jobs have been taken away by robots.
Yeah.
Like car workers.
Totally. Yeah.
And that's
supposed
just,
to.
Huh?
It's supposed to. That's what technology is supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make us not have to have dangerous jobs anymore.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, you know, it's moving so quickly and we've created a, you know, to use a Dickensian, that's not, maybe it's not Dickensian, maybe it's Marxist or anything, but a surplus population. So you know, it's like,
surplus population.
It's like we have so many people that we've created because of industrialized agriculture. So our population has increased by 70% since the beginning of the last century.
I mean, do you see the singularity where because to me ChatGPT or whatever it's mm-hmm. called
ChatGPT, yeah.
It's sort of I'm not sure if they know exactly how they created it, or maybe they do, but I think at some point. You know, do you think AI will come into a version of its own consciousness?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the thing that they're looking at now is something called, I think it's called general artificial intelligence, which I think means it gets to a point at which it can do any, it can perform any task a human can do, that's we're close to that. I think it's like maybe just a few years away, some people believe.
Reggie, I first met you. Oh, I think I met you in Edinburgh.
Actually. Yeah, Edinburgh.
Edinburgh Festival, yeah, sure. Around 2000 and something.
Maybe 6 or
2006.
Something like that. Yeah.
And we were hanging around in the Edinburgh Festival, and you were just playing amazing. And I think you did a full run of the festival, or yeah. did you get nominated?
All 3 years. I don't know if I got nominated, but I did win the Malcolm Hardy Award.
Okay, yeah. which is brilliant.
I love that award, yeah.
And then I met you in New York with Rosie Rebel and Jessica Delfino.
That's right. They're
New York. I haven't heard from Jessica.
I haven't heard anything either.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's doing all right.
You started to kind of, when I left, you were just starting to kind of, it was starting to happen for you.
Yeah.
And then I saw you on a bus. I saw you performing to actors. I think it was part of a promotional thing for a film.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been The Avengers or something. No.
Oh, yeah. It was the X-Men Dark Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, and you were... So Reggie, you were sitting on a bus performing to them.
Yeah.
It's kind of... One of the actors looked like he didn't want to be there.
Yes, for sure.
And was that for sure?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
He looked like he'd fallen out with someone or was fed up or he just didn't want to be. I will show a clip of the thing because it is quite funny.
It's, well, what my favorite thing about it was, you know, they kind of turned it over to me to like do your thing, you know, whatever. And so I did a song and I had them do this.
It was like doing a fucking corporate gig, Reggie.
Yeah, it was like a corporate
gig.
And
they didn't necessarily want to be there.
No, they didn't want to be there, but I was like trying to, my only goal was to have all of those characters refer to themselves as the X people. Instead of X-Men.
Right,
and
very
so,
good.
And so that was my only goal. And they did that. And so I'm like, great. And that's achieved.
And then you, you did that. And so I was quite impressed by that. Oh, yeah. And I was looking at your filmography. And I was blown away. You were in Star Wars. And I read that you, well, I mean, look, mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I don't know. I think I saw Star Wars, the first one, about 25 times. I mean, it just blew me away. And the idea that you were in Star Wars, but you know J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rings you up? Well, or he texts you and says, hey, do you want to... Did he... Is that...
No, well, kind of. He did, but I texted first saying, like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? And because it had been a while. And he's like, well, I'm finishing Star Wars right now. But
this is all in text.
This is all text, yeah.
And hey, I'm finishing Star Wars right now.
Yeah,
I'm finishing. Fuck off. Yeah, I'm finishing like, I mean, Star you know Wars. What I mean? Do you want to hang out? I'm finishing Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm finishing Star Wars right now. But maybe like, you know, after all of it's died down, I was like, oh, that's great. And then like maybe 15 minutes later, he texts like, do you want to be in the movie? Do you want to do a voice for the movie? And I was like, sure, yeah. And so that night, like I just got into my car and drove to the Paramount lot. But that was a weird. That was the whole thing was weird.
Weird in because the sign. I mean, what?
Well, it was weird because was it earlier that day? Yeah, earlier. Or was it the next day? No, it was that day. Earlier that day, I'd done Earth to Ned, which is the Brian Henson, like a live action
son of Jim Henson
alien. Yeah, son of yeah. They made this like alien, like this talk show with this crazy alien. It's like, you know, operated by like five puppet operators or whatever. And I was on the show, and on that same episode was Billy Dee Williams, who played Lando Calrissian. And,
right. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was like, you know, the guy who, he was the Judas in Empire Strikes Back. And so, yeah, so Billy Dee Williams. And then when I went and did the voice, I did the voice of, Lando Calrissian in a mask. So the scene that you see me in, you hear me talking alien language. Like, hawk to cock, you know, amok joy, or whatever, something like that.
And, did you make that up? No,
it had actual phrasing, you know, because it's Star Wars and Anal City. But
Well, no, it's a stupid question for me to ask. Did you make it up? Of course you didn't make it up.
Well, so they could have. Why would they know?
Did they tell you an accent? Or
No, it was just like, they just told me that it was best, you know, just a phonetic. Yeah. But it was just me and JJ in one of the kind of studio rooms, you know, where they have like a screen, but you can still mix. It's a mixing room, but it's for the with the screen, so you can do soundtrack work and Foley work, and you're looking at the screen, but it's huge, and people are working on it. So it was like one of those rooms, and he was directing me, which was really funny to be directed by JJ Abrams. But it was so short; it was like a tiny thing. So in the movie, when he there's this character that you run into, and he's got a mask on, and it's talking, blah 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 blah. And then he takes off the mask, and it's Billy Dee Williams.
Okay.
But what I thought was just insane was that just earlier that day, right, I was on the couch with Billy Dee Williams, completely unrelated, and then I end up doing his character's voice as an alien, because JJ was just being nice and was like, I want to get you into the Star Wars movie. Because I asked to be in a Star Wars movie with him. Like, I was like, I'll hold a laser rifle, whatever. Like, just have me in the background. Like, just to say I was in Star Wars.
Oh, it's huge.
And so he kind of made that come true. So it was really cool.
Leia sent me a transmission. You need a Kabaya.
Okay.
How'd you find us?
Wookiees stand out in a crowd.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Oh, yes. And of course, then you did James Corden's show.
Yes.
Which was amazing. It was 10 years?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, 8.5, technically.
And you jammed with... I'm trying to sound cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sound cool. You jammed... I had a thought there just before that, and I've forgotten what it was. Fuck, it was a good one. Mm. But it's flown out of my head. You were talking about something.
Oh,
this happens,
Billy
folks.
Dee Williams, JJ Abrams, getting me in the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
And then jamming something.
Anyway, but so who was the person? Did you play with anybody as the musical person that blew your mind, that you were a big fan of?
Oh, I mean, we didn't get to play with many people because when I took the gig.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I told them I don't want to back up any artists.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I mean, but, you know, did you get to? Yeah. Okay. Oh, you didn't want to back up any. Okay.
Yeah. Just because I it just looks, it looks corny as fuck. Mm. Like whenever you saw like Paul Schaefer, like, you know, on keyboards for like some young pop act.
Right.
And he's just like, yeah, man. You know, just yeah, like kind of right. back there. And I'm just like, what are these middle-aged men like backing up this like really cool singer? And they just, they're all wearing suits and it just looks wrong. So I just didn't want to do that. But we did, there were like, you know, a handful of occasions where some of the band would sit in with a thing, or like once or twice the actual band back someone up. But I will say, like, bands that I saw that were very impressive was Paramore was an amazing band. They're kind of like an indie, they're huge, they sell out stadiums, but they're an independent band. Amazing. Saw Paramore, saw what is her name, country singer, I can't remember her name. Anyways, there's this country singer that I'll remember. She's pretty popular in the United States, but she was great. The Voids were great. That's a dude from the Strokes, his project, Casablanca's project. Yeah, there was like, you know, there's like some bands that would play that I was like, wow, this is great. But it was like 3% of the bands. All the other bands were just very mediocre.
Right. Yeah.
It's like corporate music, basically. I mean, the artists weren't thinking of it that way, obviously, but like it presents itself as like, well, why else are they here?
So how many shows did you do a week? Was it Monday to
four?
Four shows a week.
Sometimes we'd have double tapes because we're making up for a time off. Like we had a week off or something like that because James had went and did something. And so we would do like two doubles in a row.
And was it a dream job, do you think, or yeah?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it was the easiest gig in the world.
How come?
Well, it was easy because
you didn't have to prepare too much.
No, I mean, I told him like we wanted to improvise everything, you know, but because of publishing, we had to name whatever jam we did for each thing, and then they become things, right? So then we ended up having like 5,000. You know, jams that we could do. And so the way I built the band and the way I wanted it to run, it ended up running exactly like that. So like we were able to, my friend Tim Young ended up being kind of like the first officer, you know, like he ended up kind of being in first AD in a way.
Okay.
Like he's the one who's like, oh, well, I'm going to write out the things, you know, and he's like talking to the band. And then eventually I was just showing up, you know, like 15 minutes before the show airs, and I do quick makeup, put on my jacket and pack, and then just walk down to the stage.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Sit down, you know, hour 15 minute long taping, and then we were done, and then I was out of there. So it was,
Do you live in New York?
No, I live in Los Angeles. Okay. It taped in Los Angeles.
Oh, taped in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So I had to.
I was going to ask Reggie, is he based in Los Angeles? And I do a joke that it's a rich man's question, you know, are you based? I'm not fucking based anywhere. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in Dublin. Yeah, I'm based in LA, man.
Yeah, I'm based, but I could be based anywhere. Just wait for it because I'm so flexy. Now, Los Angeles for the last 8.5 years, yeah.
And I mean, what do you think back on it? Are there any particular? Is there a highlight or anything like that from that show that you, or is that a stupid question?
No, it's not a stupid question at all. Yes, I mean, there are a lot of great highlights. I mean, I met incredible people. I met this guy Noah Centineo, really cool dude, actor, young guy, really vibrant. Like a lot of like people who would get up and come over to me after the guest spots when they were done. Like it was so sweet. Like once in a while people just get up and come over and go like, hey, I love your stuff, or okay, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes like I'd make friends that way, you know, like so Noah and I hang out. It's an unlikely friendship, but it's like it's really cool. And
it's rare enough to have a connection with people, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And in that environment, it's a different kind of connection.
Right.
It's like it's a connection, but it's like a show business connection, which is still just as valuable, but it's just a different frequency in a way. But you know,
some people, it's an interesting thing. Some people vibrate at a very strange frequency, you know. Some people are so odd, but then those people think I'm odd, so you know what I mean?
No one thinks you're odd.
Are you married and do you have children? My audience want to know.
Oh, yeah, I have six children.
six children.
I'm remarried.
Gunther.
Yeah.
And
Stefan.
And Stefan.
Klaus.
Erika.
Teresa.
Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa. And Frumflof.
Frumflof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool kid.
He's studying acting.
Yeah, he's all right. No, I don't have any kids. Probably I'm not going to have any. There's really no point at this point. No, not married either.
Yeah.
Haven't never been.
I think it must be very annoying for people who don't have kids, listening to people who have kids, and they can't fucking wrap their head around the fact that, you know, people don't have kids. You know, can I just say, with people who have kids, you love your kids, you know, but... You know, so that's okay. But anyway, I have two sons, a 29-year-old and a 20.
But that's different. They're adults now. It's great.
They are, yeah. But you still worry, I think, unnecessarily all the time.
Of course.
Not all the time, but you're just, you know.
Well, it's always on your mind, right? I hope they're doing okay.
Like my son Jack was so they're in Poland at the moment with Hannah. And he was saying he bought weed. He was looking for weed. He was staying at a hotel, a resort. And who were you talking? Where? How, and I was just sort of just the idea of Jack with his broken Polish going out into the town,
wow,
looking for Polish people to sell him fucking weed.
It seemed like he might get locked up or something.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I mean, of course it's going to happen. I mean, my mom was like always worried about me. I mean, I was an only child, and I don't know if my dad probably was, but he was like so stoic, who knows.
And that this kind of insane musical ability that you have, I was going to say, where did that come from? How did it happen? Were you invented in a shed? No. So early on you were always interested in music.
Yeah.
What blew you away the first time you heard something? Were you in your teens?
No. I was a little kid. I loved Ray Charles and Elvis Presley. So I was like, you know, 4 or 5.
It's funny you say that, because Ray Charles was talking about how unimpressed he is with Elvis Presley.
Was he?
Yeah, because he was saying, you know, black people have been doing that for hundreds of years.
True, yeah.
You know, and coming from Ray Charles, but I mean...
I get it. Well, I would agree. I mean, it's like, obviously you only know what you see in that moment. And as a child, it's like, well, there's this guy, he's like dancing funny. He's got slick back hair and he's like, whatever. And one of my first records was an Elvis Presley record. But, you know, and he definitely obviously didn't pay enough respect to the people that he got his music from. But
Ray Charles, man, like that stuff, that music that he did, it was just bonkers, wasn't it?
Yeah, insane. I mean, that guy was like... stupidly talented, you know, or Stevie Wonder, you know. But I love pop music growing up. Like any popular music that was on the radio, I was a huge fan of, you know. And then I became more obsessed with music.
For me, like I still have a guitar on stage when I do stand-up comedy, and it came from street performing, which I did for 20 years.
Yeah,
for too long. But I found that when I made people laugh, I made more money on the street, and. So that's how the comedy sort of crept into what I did. And so it kind of the guitar is kind of like a security blanket for me at this stage. How did you what was the genesis of your music? Because you were in a band first, weren't you?
I studied music as a little kid, so I was so I studied piano starting at age 5, and then classical piano, and then classical violin in the school system. So I had a classical background, and then played in a band in high school when I was 16, and I was just in love with, you know, post-punk music and industrial music, and so I was very inspired by that. And
post-punk, name it, what's post-punk?
Post-punk or new wave.
Oh, new wave.
Yeah.
Well, my uncle, Pete Briquet, was in a new wave band called the Boomtown Rats.
Oh, I remember that band.
that was, I think they had, you know, a few hits. I Don't Like Mondays and Rat Trap. I actually interviewed Bob Geldof, and that was a real thrill. He's kind of an intimidating dude. I mean.
Sure, Jesus.
Yeah. You know
what a fucking legend.
Who does anybody intimidate you, Reggie? I mean, intimidate you? Are you in awe? Like, if you met, would there be one person that you met?
Stevie Wonder would be someone that, yeah, that would definitely put me in that zone. It'd
make you feel a bit awkward.
Yeah.
What would you say to Stevie Wonder?
Hello.
Yeah,
hi, Stevie.
I'm just like, hey, Stevie. Hey, man. I don't know. I mean, like, he would be, there's not, everybody's dying. So all the people that I would really be blown away, because, like, there's, like, the people who I guess are in the same place that those people were, you know, like Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson or Prince and all those things. They're half as talented. You know, it's like they're not, it's, and it might be just an environmental thing, but, like, you know, it's like Michael Jackson was one of the best dancers in the universe, had an incredible voice, and like was like probably one of the greatest pop stars ever. And then Prince also, same thing. It's like no one can, like, these days can even come close to that. And I think it's probably just a product of the environment that we're in currently. But so there's no one currently, I think, that I would meet that is, like, active and doing shit and people know about and things like that, that I would be, like, intimidated by. But so, I mean, Prince would have been someone immediately I would have been like, holy shit,
yeah,
what a fucking badass, you know? I mean,
he was quite, anytime he was interviewed, there was, it was quite odd.
Yeah, he was very shy, introvert guy. And just, you know, just a weirder. Or, like, you know, even watching, like, Tom York, like, interviews of but when Tom York
when you're a kid,
yeah,
and you were really into that fucking band,
yeah,
like, you think that's so cool.
Yeah.
The fact that he's that he doesn't really answer, and
I don't answer questions.
Yeah, you know, like, and you'd just be so, think that was so cool.
Well, I prefer the way that Devo did it. Devo were totally, like, smarmy kind of dicks to interviews,
okay,
but they did it in a really intelligent,
okay,
kind of biting way, and as opposed to just being like, I don't answer, you know, whatever.
Right,
I'm just like, that's a little lazy.
Yeah,
and it's also kind of rude.
It is rude, and then why agree to go on the bloody thing?
It's like, I'm on an interview. It's like, yeah, but I don't answer. I had to do it because we had to promote the whatever.
Oh, the classic, of course, with that was Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
And he was being interviewed in Canada or something. And, you didn't want to be interviewed about the fact that he was a film star.
Oh, okay.
And so he completely shut down and was just like throwing his toys out of the pram.
So dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, So, I mean, to answer the question, it's like, I don't think there's really anybody. I mean, maybe there's, like, a world leader or something. Maybe, I don't know.
And so, comedically, when you're coming up with stuff, is it in the moment? Do you sit down and write, like, a few categories of things? What?
No, it's in the moment, for sure. Yeah. I can't really write stuff out. I could imagine at the very most, I can imagine maybe creating some bullet points or something, like things to look at and go, like, talk about spaghetti or whatever.
Right,
I could do that. But I just don't like having any of that. I'd rather it just be natural.
How many, do you have a special on Netflix?
I have one special on Netflix, and then there's two Comedy Central specials. Or is that right? Yeah, I think they're both Comedy Central specials.
Hmm.
And then I'm making a new one. In the fall, I think, with
autumn,
autumn.
What's the fall?
It's the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a great band. So we're doing that in the fall, and that's going to be at Jack White's. It'll be Third Man Records, and 800-pound Gorilla is going to be producing it. So, yeah, we'll see.
That's for Netflix.
No, I don't know who that's going to be for. I guess they're just going to release it on 800-pound Gorilla, which has their own distribution network. So,
I mean, that is the amazing thing, folks, about, I don't know if you were referring to, but just social media and how revolutionary it is. Like, if you told me 20 years ago that everything, you know, you could do everything on a phone and you could create an audience for yourself, I would have been blown away. But it is incredible. And like, you know, you can give yourself the green light. You don't have to go to TV stations and commission. Like, if you have a good enough idea and if you work hard enough, you can build an audience which transposes into ticket sales.
100%. Yeah, you can be very savvy and really utilize, you know, those platforms really, really well. But yeah, that's what I like about it. It's like, well, now I don't know. I mean, Netflix, I remember Netflix was promoting my special on Twitter or something like that. Like, check, you know, make sure to check out the special. You know, it had been years that that came out. And I was like, and I just remember writing back going like, oh, so give me another special. Because I was asking, I was like, hey, can't do another special.
Yeah, yeah.
I just like never got any answer. And I was just bummed about it because a special is like when you release a special, it's kind of like, well, here's my current state or, you know, here's something new that I've made that you can observe that just come out.
Reggie, your style of comedy, and I don't want to keep you too long because I'm very mindful of the fact that you have to leave, and I'm very, 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 that's four verys, grateful that you agreed to do this, and you're sound and you're such a sweet person, and thank you so much. Where are you flying off to, by the way? Flying off to?
I'm going to Berlin.
Oh, Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And how long will you be there for?
I'll be there for about 9 days. About 9 days.
Is there a festival that you're...
I'm just doing one show in Berlin, and then I'm trying to drive down to Stuttgart to try to find the hospital I was born in, and I'm having my friend Karis film it.
Oh, that's cool.
So it'll be kind of that's like a sweet road trip.
Yeah.
And Porsche is nice enough to lend me a 911 so I can do
Fuck
that.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That is so... listen, that's it. You've done it. You've reached the top of the top. 9/11, the Autobahn.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's it.
I mean, yeah, that's
you
like,
know, come on.
I know. I always say like, well, you know, I had a lot of fun.
So listening to Kraftwerk, you know,
oh man,
on the Autobahn driving a 90.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we're going to finish up because I don't want to keep you too long, although I do. But the point is, you know, I have got into a lot of hot water on stage. You know, people getting offended, and this has happened throughout my life. It's not just a recent thing. You know, because sometimes, sometimes I'll just say something because I think somebody's been a bit of a dick, so I'll just say it to get a reaction.
Yeah,
I mean, and I have, you know, I have got into fights when I was younger, but you know, things thrown at me.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that would sort of stuff has happened to you, or has it? Have you pissed people off?
I mean, I've only done it really once in Philadelphia when I was on tour with a band, and I was also they were letting me do like comedy sets before. Like I was singing like four or five songs with them, and I was on tour with them. But they were like, "Yeah, if you want to do, you know, a little set before each show, that's totally cool." And I was like, "Great!" And then they had me do a set in Philadelphia, and they were like, "I was like, how much time do I have?" It's like, "Well, we have an hour." And I was like, "Well, I guess I'll try to do an hour," which was so totally stupid because like they're there to see that band, Soul Live, and you know they're not there to see a comedian. So I started doing this bit about because the Flyers are their hockey team in Philadelphia. I started doing this and they just won the championship or something like that. And I did this bit where I kept calling them the Lions. And so I was like, yeah, congratulations on your hockey team. The Lions, really cool team. You know, I love the uniforms with the embroidered, you know, Lions mane on the back and the, and whatever, it was just like, and people were like, Flyers, the Flyers. No, and I just kept, I was like, yeah, the Lions. And I just like think they're so great. And they got so pissed. And then people started throwing like pennies and shit at me. And then there was a dude in the audience that was like really loud. And I invited him on stage. And I was like, what's your beef? Like, why are you so loud? He's like, it's the Lions and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot. And I was like, I'll see you later. And then he went to go off stage, like for the stairs. I was like, no, you have to go off the front, like how you came up or whatever. And he does that. And then I just like kept going. And I remember looking over at the side of the stage with the tour manager was just going, like, what are you doing? And, and I just like went on. I just kind of kept going and got really quiet and people got louder. And then at the end of it, I remember saying like they were getting all riled up. And I said, you know what, guys? You're never, ever going to see me on this stage again. And then people were like, good, great. All right, all right. And then I like walked off. And then like two songs later, I'm on stage.
Singing. Oh, no.
and they just didn't even remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, but that was about as close as I ever got to kind of insight.
And what about dying?
Well...
Do you love dying?
I mean,
or have you died recently?
Sometimes it's nice.
Yeah. What is nice about it?
Well, I think sometimes it's like if you generally have a track record of not doing that, sometimes it's nice to do that. I mean, you can also kind of, you can relish in it and you can also use it, you know, if you want.
Well, sometimes if I disappear up my arse and I think I'm better than I am and I go on stage, usually that's the time when I'll die. And to me, dying is like it wakes me the fuck up. It kind of, you know, and usually the next show I'll be much more attentive and humble.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
you're in a different category. Almost.
Well, because I'm improvising and because I have a mixture of, like, you know, sounds and storytelling and music and whatever. I can always go into something musical. There's definitely times where I don't feel as connected to at being as creative as I normally would. So I have to be a little careful not to get inside my head, you know, in those situations. But you know, there are so many approaches that are possible. Like, there's different things
approaches
that I can do. Well, it's like I can start meandering and, like, I can start acting like there's technical difficulties. I can, you know, do fake crowd work. I can, you know, leave the stage, you know.
You know, as you're talking there, Ross Noble, who was not dissimilar.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like you get into a dream state.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Reggie. We're gonna, you know.
No. It's my jet lag. It's just
your,
like,
fucking jet lag. I know. I'm so sorry,
no,
Reggie.
I'm here though.
No. I know you're, but you know, I just feel like it's like fucking. I feel like I'm in Guantanamo Bay.
No, not at all. This is awesome.
No, but that dream state. So, you know, where do you, and do you almost in a fugue state sometimes where you're going. And it's almost like you're not in. You're just like sitting in the ship of your brain, where it's you're just going somewhere, and you have no idea. Is that what happens sometimes? Or
I mean, it's just you're just kind of listening for what's coming next. You know,
like, you're listening to what's coming next.
Yeah.
And to get into that state, how does that happen?
You just have to start.
But it doesn't happen all the time, Reggie.
Well, it can. You just have to give yourself a chance. I mean, if things are not working out on stage, I can definitely, what would you say? I can, there's just like things I can go back, like a trope, you know, like if I do a science fiction sound effects or something like that, I could do that and I can get into that. And then while I'm doing that, that might remind me.
What's a science fiction sound effect?
Oh, I mean, it's like, you know, whatever, like UFOs and shit and like explosions and like act out a whole war scene, you know? And then while that's happening, I'm going, I know something dumb I can do, you know, and then I kind of go out of that. And there's just a lot of techniques that I have that can shake up my, my inability to kind of, or I'm just having a harder time connecting. And so I can do things that'll shake that up and then allow me to reestablish a connection.
Reggie Watts, what a pleasure. And it's so good to see you after God knows how long we've seen each other, and your career has just blossomed, and it's going to what's next? Well, you're going to do this special in the fall. Are there any more TV gigs?
No TV gigs as of yet.
I mean, as in late night shows.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I have a.
I heard James Corden was very abusive to you. He used to, is that correct?
No, he wasn't. He was really sweet.
Yeah.
He was really sweet. He let me do whatever.
I didn't hear that, by the way. I'm just trying to create.
Oh, you want to create controversy?
Click controversy.
Controversy.
I'm trying to do clickbait.
Oh yeah, clickbait. Yeah. James. I heard that James Taylor treated you really horribly on his show. No, I have a book coming out.
That's right. Sorry, your book as well. Fast Times, Post-Punk Weirdos, and A Tale of Coming Home Again, which sounds kind of Tolkien-like in terms of its grandeur, and it's a good title.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's Great Falls, Montana.
Oh, that's the
title. That's the subtitle. But like, and it's just an autobiography that kind of focuses more on my high school years. It touches a little bit on when I moved to Seattle and New York and L.A., but it's mostly about my upbringing. And
yeah, I was reading the little intro about how you met some cool friends early on, and the music that you guys started listening to, and you know, like a great like great comedy, like a great story. You're suddenly in, and you can see it. And it was very touching, and I could identify with it a lot. So that's, when's that coming out?
October 17th, and you can pre-order on Amazon.
Okay. Well, Reggie, the best of luck in Berlin and everything, and onwards and upwards and continued success. Thank you so much for doing this. You're the definitely the most famous person I've had on the and that's why we're not. What the fuck are we doing?
I don't know. you know, reaching across the ocean.
Oh, Reggie.
That was great.
That was great, Reggie, you know?
Yeah, man. I love it. Oh, God.
Crazy. Are you exhausted?
I thought I'd kind of beaten it, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. Oh, sorry. Days. Heat, warmth. Once you're in a warm environment, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Where did you come from?
I came from L.A.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's crazy.
It was like a long trip, but I thought I did everything right. There's this app that you can use called Time Shifter that...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.